question. Shinsuwa mentions at the end about how like purity isn't found through like external practices, but internally. And you mentioned how Ajahn Chah, like with regards to the Bhutangas, like wouldn't always recommend them for everybody.
Right.
And how that actually like Kilesa can come in anyway with the Bhutangas. And there are like some passages in Ajahn Mun's biography by Ajahn Mahabua, like specifically I'm thinking when I think it's like a mental body or something of a arhat disciple comes to Ajahn Mun to like praise the Bhutangas, or somehow a savaka arhat is coming to praise the Bhutangas. It's basically like a whole long chapter, which is you read it and it comes across as like kind of like the Aponika Dhammas, like these Dhammas are never wrong, like you practice these and it's always right.
Uh-huh.
I'm just curious if maybe that's just that one selection from the biography, or if you know if Lungta Mahabua also taught that, okay, these practices aren't always infallible, or if you have heard instances where he didn't necessarily.
I don't know. I do remember an occasion that Lungta Mahabua talked about when he was he had malaria and he was sick, so he was really run down. And then he came out for the sweeping and to keep up with the routine in the monastery and Ajahn Mun saw him because he was kind of just tottering, trying to hold his broom, and Ajahn Mun came and really blasted him and told him to go back and rest and look after himself. He was just like a dumb Jain ascetic trying thinking that purification came through so that something that stood out of Ajahn Mahabua relating that story as a counter to the endurance and effort and keeping the outside routine was gonna do it.
There was another instance that Lungta Mahabua relates. I think it's in one of the talks in Sama, where he was, young monk with Ajahn Mun, who was really keen to take on the Dokpa practice. Mm-hmm. And he said he wouldn't let anybody put food in his bowl, except Ajahn Mun, who did fairly regularly, and reflecting on what that meant, he said, "Yeah, I could see it was, I could see that it was a good practice for me, but I could also see that there was pride involved." Right. And Ajahn Mun was knocking out his pride by putting food in his bowl, and possibly also giving him some necessary nutrition.
Yes. There's a couple different angles that are working there.
it seems like it would make sense to say that they're confident, like they're always right, if you're practicing them right.
Yes. I mean, that's that. These practices are always right when you use them rightly. Because even the what the Buddha calls Aponika Dhammas, sense restraint, moderation in eating, devotion to wakefulness. Where do you cut, make the line? When is devotion to wakefulness? To do it properly, do you have to be like the monk that I met who his devotion to wakefulness was such that he didn't sleep and didn't need to sleep. And he was I was talking with him, he had been putting forth a lot of effort and was restrained, and he was not needing to sleep, so he was laying down and resting for a half an hour. And then he started to feel guilty about that because it didn't seem really necessary, and it just seemed extraneous and inindulgent. So he gave that up and just didn't bother sleeping. Is that what devotion to wakefulness is? And is it only successful when you can do that? Because it's possible. And at the time, he was leading a group on Tudong, and I asked him, "Do you think now that you're..." Because he was living in a cave during that time, and he said, "Now that you're it's end of the Pansa, and you're actually leading a group of your monks, do you need sleep? And you're still able to keep that praying?" He says, "Yeah, I still don't need any sleep." He says, "But it's not going to last." He said, "That's only the power of samadhi, and that's going to wane because of just the amount of sense contact." He said, "But for right now, it's okay. But I don't believe that it's going to be." So it's really quite practical. Very interesting that it's possible. Scientifically, they think it's impossible, but I think if the body and the mind are able to really rest with samadhi, then that rejuvenates the whole system.
A similar anecdote came from the Upataks of Paksana, saying that during the Pansana, they go into to like straighten up his school theater in the morning and like make his bed and everything. And the bed was untouched.
Yeah.
So he would just basically go into his school at night, meditate all night, yeah, never lie down, and become, just constantly be full of energy.
Yeah.
So he never actually said as much, but I'm pretty sure it's the same sort of thing where it's just the power of samadhi.
Okay, you can sit quietly for a bit.